Hey there, Knicks fans. How you doing? It's your boy, Jonathan Macri, with you for another episode of the Knicks Film School Podcast. I'm cracking up because it's already quite a start to the
week. We're such a sham.
Is it only Tuesday?
It's Tuesday.
It's only Tuesday. God, God help me. God help us all. So welcome to another episode of the show. Welcome to those of us, or those of you watching on YouTube. And welcome to my co-host today, Chris Percyainen. And Chris, how are you, sir?
It's a great day. It's honestly, I'm having an awesome day. This is the first day I've done nothing all day in so long. Like, I took three finals yesterday in one day, and now I just get to enjoy freedom for a little bit.
That's, well, congratulations on finishing your first half of your first year of college. I did not even think of this until just now, but I have to share this story now. I was so excited to finish all my finals. I went to, obviously, like you, Fordham. And the difference is that I was still living at home in Staten Island at the time. Well, you're living at home, obviously, as I could see.
Yeah, I took my finals from my room.
From your house. Well, me and my best friend, Aaron, we drove through Brooklyn, and we made a little detour from the Bronx, and we stopped at L&B Spumoni Gardens. And I had in one sitting what is to this day still my record for food consumption in one meal. I had 8 slices of Sicilian pizza from L&B Spumoni Gardens. And that is how I celebrated finishing my first semester at Fordham University. And you are on here doing a podcast, a mailbag podcast with me. So I'll give you one guess who won this trade-off here.
COVID takes the
COVID wins. We all lose. COVID wins.
Pretty much.
The other thing. Sorry, what were you saying?
No, I was just gonna say we have some good questions. We do. I had a lot to. Usually, it's you who puts out the question request, but it was me this time, and I got a bunch that were very, you know, fun for me to sift through. I tried picking some that would, you know, best encompass all the different themes to touch on.
And I'm sure you did a great job. Unfortunately, because I am, you know, swimming in a mess of shit that includes, you know, a full-time job and raising a child who we've been keeping at home for the last 2 weeks. Again, thanks, COVID. This will be the first time that I am seeing any of these questions. So full disclosure, the level of preparation from this podcast host, leaves a bit to be desired. On the bright side, last thing before we actually get to the questions, I'm fairly certain that my daughter is a serial killer because we asked her to make her Christmas list today. And this is what she came up with. Can you see this? If you're listening on just on a podcast, you should.
Oh yeah, I can.
Go and tune into the YouTube channel just for this, because it's really something to behold.
Looks like a David Fizdale whiteboard during a timeout.
Maybe my daughter should be the next coach of the Knicks. Although I think I almost did it again. Another Freudian slip. A few people made me aware. I referred to Tibbs as Fizz on the last episode. I'm going to try not to do that ever again. Okay, enough precursory banter from me. You want to get this thing started? What's our first question?
It's a two word answer to the first one, but I think it's a fun question. Who's your prediction for who makes the most 3-pointers this year from Gennadios Kasotis?
And then I'm seeing here also over under.
There's a second. Okay. I
finally opened the email that you sent me several days ago. For who makes the most threes on the team this year? That's a really wonderful question. It's tough, right?
I have my instant.
What's your instant answer? He's the obvious one, but there's a playing time thing there because I could see them moving him to the bench at some, like, of all of the current starters, other than maybe Noel, I think he has the most, or obviously Randall if he gets traded. I think he has the most, you know.
I was going to say, on the note of Randall, does the world exist where
listen, a bunch of. It's crazier shit has happened. The other guy I was thinking is Barrett, and maybe that's me being overly optimistic because he's only made one three.
I was gonna say that's a lot. I would love it. I'd love it. I would.
Here's the thing. I think he's gonna take a fair amount of them. And the other guy that just popped into my head is Obi Toppin. I think those are both answers that are too cute by half, and I'm gonna go with Burks as well. But there are like a few people that it would not shock me.
And RJ, I mean, I was lucky enough to be at the Chicago game last year where he kind of said, "All right, Coby White, I'm done with the conversations about who's better between us. I'm gonna show everyone right now," and went full baby James Harden against, of course, the shit Bulls, but. It was a great game, and he hit a step back three right before the end of the first half.
Yeah.
That, you know, makes me think like if he adds something like that, we just saw Killian take a couple interesting, you know, three pointers, just not regular catch and shoot. He created some stuff for himself in just his first preseason game. So maybe we see RJ get a little creative. I would love to, but
well, I'm going to save my
answer thoughts. Remains Burks.
No, it's the right answer. I'll save my extended thoughts on RJ for later. But the other part of this question, over under Mitch, 5 3-point. Wait, makes three attempt. 5-point attempts. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So how many does he make this year? Does he make over or under five? I got to say, I think it's going to be under because I would be shocked if he takes 10. But then again, at the end of the year, but then he'll get his ass on the bench if he starts just firing away. I'm going to go under. Where are you?
Those last 2 months of the season that we were robbed of last season, of it was going to be RJ and Mitch Fest, and then we were robbed of it. Now we might get RJ, Obi, and Mitch Fest, though, which is pretty cool. So if that happens and, you know, pick and pop, they start doing that, then he could make like six on the year and screw the under easily. But
yeah,
I think the under is the smart. I'm gonna say like if I had to place a bet right now, it would go on under.
Okay, I mean of these two bets, logically. I would bet Burks even money on the leader. I would not place money on either way on Mitch. But I think the over under of five is that's the right line. Okay, what's our next question?
Question two comes from Ray Marcano. Where will the Knicks struggle most? A, three-point shooting. B, pick-and-roll defense. C, convincing Julius Randle that he should play within himself.
See, this is funny. I have a quick answer to this. I think it's going to be three-point shooting, and I think I know it's only two games, but
there's the one-shooter lineups. Tearing away out there at the 3-point attempts.
Well, let's put it this way. I just credibly like put it out there that RJ could lead the team in 3-pointers this year, which is obscene because this is a guy that shot 32% last year, 33%, whatever it was. They're one of two teams making less than one out of every four of their 3-point attempts right now through the preseason. They're making
that's 20. Good.
Yeah, it's a good start. Hey, them
love,
the Bucks.
Yeah, you love to hear that.
They're dead last. I don't see where the point guard is coming from. That is going like maybe they start running out quickly a point guard for 15, 20 minutes a game the last like couple months. But other than that, they don't have a point guard who can make a three. Obi looks like it's going to be, you know, look, put this way. If we got the 32% that we got from RJ last year from Obi this year, you'd sign for that right now, right?
No, oh, wouldn't man. You? On the like exact volume.
It feels like he's going to put
exact
up
volume. I'll sign.
It feels like he's going to put up like 2 to 3 a game. So, whatever. Here's the bigger reason I'm going with 3-point shooting is because I think they're actually going to be good in pick and roll defense. I think Noel's good. I think Mitch is good. I think, Toppin is a bit of a concern, but I actually keeping Toppin like close to the basket. I actually feel better about that than at this point, at least, than him figuring out where around like the arc he needs to be at the right time, depending on all the other shit that's going on. It's like you're taking away things. So I think they're going to be fine. Relatively fine. Pick and roll defense. And I don't know, man. I think between, you know, Kenny Payne, Coach Julius at Kentucky, Tibbs has a as you know, as praised him as clearly Tibbs is trying to get Randall on board with his effusive praise of the big man. You know, Johnny Bryan has had his you know, moments bringing guys into the fold. I think Julius knows he's like, it's put up or shut up time. This is his NBA career. It's on the line. And I know game two doesn't bode well for my prediction that they will maybe be able to get him to play within himself. But yeah, I would say they're going to struggle most with 3-point shooting.
Fair answer.
Well, I think
question three gets into some of the things you just, you know, dipped a toe in. How do you feel about Coach Tibbs' style so far? Is the first of three from bench warmer post. So Tibbs' style, just in the final, the first two preseason games is not too huge of a sample size, but just from what you've seen, it's
big enough for me to fall in love. I think.
No,
listen, man, I'm already. Tomorrow
they can sign me to start at center, and you'd be like, no, you know what? He's a good kid.
You are a good kid. That's why I brought you aboard. Wednesday's newsletter is going to feature my first self-made Tibbs GIF. Of him just yelling and shouting obscenities at I don't think anyone in particular, but it, you know, I felt the need, and it will not be the last. I think when you have a franchise that's been the laughingstock of the league for two decades, you like, this is what you want your coach to do, unless guys tune him out, and they're certainly not tuning him out yet, whether they will at some point down the line. I personally, you know, I don't think they will, because I don't know how anybody would have the luxury of tuning him out. Nobody carries that cat level of Carl Anthony Towns level of gravitas within this organization right now. So right. Yeah, I love it.
Gotcha. The second, do you think Randall will be flipped by the deadline?
God. I mean, obviously I want to say yes, but no, I don't think, I don't know who's dying to get their hands on some Julius Randle. Because at this point it's like,
you're right.
But how do you flip him?
You can
flip him.
We know it's possible. You look at the contracts that are getting moved around the league, you know it can be done.
So he
then you look at actual, you know, team matches. Does this team that can take him want him? And then things get a little murky. So
you flip him, you could flip him for bad money. Which where's the bad money out there, and is someone really going to pay the premium to get, you know, and it's like, and the Knicks are going to want, because they're going to be like, he's our best. I got yelled at for saying something. I shouldn't generalize. He is our the one guy on offense who brings attention to himself for better or often for worse. The Knicks are I just don't think they're in a position right now where they're like, here, take this guy off our hands for literally anything. And as long as they put some premium on what he actually or theoretically can do for this team, then, you know, then you're asking for something real back. And you're really asking for something real back if you're taking on somebody's bad money. And I just don't know, you know, because like now, especially with, you know, Giannis signing today, who's dying to get money off their books? I don't know who that team is. It's just, man, I just don't. And then the last thing would be is like some team convincing themselves that they're a Julius Randle away from a whatever, a finals run or a deep playoff. No, I don't.
Right. I still... Minnesota still strikes me as like, I keep coming back to Minnesota. Minnesota and Charlotte were the two teams I kept coming back to.
Watched bits of Minnesota the last two games they played against
Memphis. Who were they playing at the four?
They're starting. Oh my God. Big doofy white guy.
Jake Layman.
Yeah. Thank you. He is the aforementioned big doofy white guy.
That is the, all right. That's the big doofy white guy in question. And they also have.
Yeah, but someone, they need more Jake Layman's. They don't need a Julius Randle, because guess what? I don't actually know if they lost last night. I didn't watch it till the end, but like they need dirty work guys. They don't have enough of those, because they have too many of the Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russells and Carl Anthony Townses of the world.
They did lose to the Grizzlies.
They lost again last night. Okay, so there you go. I don't know. And what are you getting from them? What are you going to get? A heavily protected 2023 first round pick that eventually converts to 2 seconds if it ever, like, I just.
Right. And they probably are hesitant, I would think, maybe to throw picks and deals because they're thinking, you know, we might want those to stockpile assets for a trade for like a real other guy, whether they have Booker delusions or whatever it is, pairing the three buddies, you know, whatever their plans are. I think their draft capital cash in plans are bigger than Julius Randle.
There's only one ball and I don't, yeah, it's just, it doesn't, it, it, it no. Okay. Is there another part of this question before we move on?
Yeah. Third part is there a chance for the Knicks to look at Frank as a point guard who could take DSJ's minutes away? You know, we saw Tibbs put him in at PG for a little. What's your read there?
I think your best chance is they give RJ more playmaking responsibilities as the season goes on. And he is I'm spoiling Wednesday's column. The end of Wednesday's column. And he is the de facto second unit point guard alongside a Frank and or an Austin Rivers. Mm-hmm. And so like Frank's not the point guard, but like, it's like, you know, the poor man's version of name any big, like, you know, Kawhi and like Pat Beverly or something, where it's like, yes, Pat Beverly is the point guard, but yeah. So that's
right. What I'd say. Gotcha.
All right.
Question four on the subject of the playmaking abilities of one Rohit Barrett Jr. Vin Caravalli asks, is there a possibility of RJ developing into a real plus playmaker? He seems to have good passing instincts and maybe the solution to the PG problem is to have multiple playmakers. So right along what you just said, but you know, your thoughts on RJ potentially spiced up playmaking chops that we've seen.
He's not a starting NBA point guard. I think you're
right.
That should go without saying. I think your goal. See, here's the complicating factor, right? Is you look at a guy like Jason Tatum, which I think Knicks fans in their rosiest of future outcomes imagine RJ being some lesser version of that, right?
Listen,
2 games in, I'm a hell of a lot more impressed than I ever thought I would be. Jason Tatum, it's not.
Is that,
what?
I'm like offended by that almost.
Why?
Like, than you ever thought. That's harsh. Impressed.
He's 17 for his last
two preseason games. Have you more impressed than you ever thought you would be about RJ Barrett?
He's 17 for his last 27 from the field. I didn't think there would be a stretch where he took of all season where he took 27 shots and made 17 of them, because I can read numbers that are on websites about the season he had last year. Is that a sufficient answer? That's all it is. Just I'm lucky. I learned to read at a young age. Anyway, I'm very impressed. I think, you know, there is a version of him now that I think, yeah, maybe he is a poor man's, you know, again, like Butler in the finals last year is the obvious example, but he's like, that's really just so wildly optimistic. And but whatever it is, there's the, you know, engine of the offense component of it, but then there's the actual being able to make the right passes and plays off of being that engine. So it's right. Not just one challenge, it's two challenges that are interrelated, but they are somewhat unique. I think he has the passing ability. I think we saw that last year, and I think we've seen even better, like, his passing on the move. I went back and watched every one of his assists last season at the beginning of quarantine, and there were very few of them that were made on the move. And he's made a few already. And some passes that he's made on the move that did not go in, that were not assists because the basket wasn't made, but they were really high quality passes. So I think he has that aspect of it. I think it's the matter of can he be, you know, that caliber of individual offensive creator. And, you know, we'll see. But I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful for this season, right. Though. I definitely want to see him run the second unit offense from time to time, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, you know, once you're fortunate enough to be in a situation where RJ is not your primary And then that playmaking is like a plus to have from a wing guy instead of like what you need as the best player on a bad team. Like you need a certain amount of playmaking ability, like instead of going from a, it'll go from a necessity to like a surplus, if that makes sense. If he has that plus passing ability down the line, you know, if he's not in a position where he has to be making plays and he instead can do cool stuff like that, you know, and it's seen differently. So
yeah, again, it's a small thing, but like the little step back mid-range jumper he hit coming off a curl.
Oh, he looks really comfortable.
Yeah, it's just like that's something that shot. We didn't see a lot last year. So the fact that he's making it now is great. You know, we'll see where we can go from here.
So our next question, we got, it was somewhere around a fifth of our submitted questions were about Kevin Knox, either half about Knox or a third or fully in some capacity related to Kevin Knox. He was frequently mentioned in the questions. I picked the question though that I think might lead to the best answer from you, which is from Alan Seppenwall, who asks, if Kevin Knox had attended any other university, would he still be in the team's plans at all based on his play thus far?
Well, the easy answer is I don't think the team should be making any judgment based off of two preseason games. I think what he means is based on his play thus far through 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes more sense. Yeah, because Scott Perry made the pick and Scott Perry is still here. And I think Scott Perry, if
does Leon care though?
Like, well, but then why does let's play this out, right? Scott Perry would not theoretically be here if he did not have some voice still within the organization. And if they had dealt away Kevin Knox for what they could have realistically got for Kevin Knox this summer, it's essentially like cutting off Perry's nuts and tossing them out of off of the roof of Four Penn Plaza, right? But Perry's here, and I think they still listen to him to a certain extent. So I think it has more to do with Perry still being here, and I do think it still has to do with the fact that, like, you know, I think they did think to a certain extent it would take a while with Knox. I don't think they thought it would quite take this long and be this arduous of a road.
Right.
But you know, you continue to hear all the good stuff, the conditioning, and you know, he's putting in the time, he's a great practice player. And like, but I'm not going to lie though. I don't know if I'm stepping on another question, but of all the things that I've seen through two games, the only thing that has me really both distressed and somewhat legit, like Dennis Smith Jr., I'm not surprised by the fact that he's struggling on offense, because again, I have eyes and I watched him last year. The upside. But I was hopeful. He's been terrible on offense. But Kevin Knox, I legitimately was like, okay, we're going to see, I don't know how much better it's going to be, but I think we're going to see a better guy on offense. And other than like literally one jump shot that he looked really comfortable on,
it was cool.
It was a nice looking pull up, right? It looked really good. Other than that, I mean, game two, my God, I rewatched all of his minutes today. It's like, boy, and I didn't have the heart to tweet it out, but he had not a coverage mistake on defense. How can I put this? There was something he should have very clearly realized where a player went and like basically Reggie Bullock went and covered middle as someone was coming off a pick, and Reggie Bullock's man, because he had to cover middle, shot over to the three, and it was good. I forget what shooter it was, but good shooter. And they were wide open, and Knox just like completely, maybe it was him. And Knox just completely and totally just, it didn't register to him that like, wait, the guy who was covering this dude is now over here. So he's not covering the guy anymore. So I need to cover that guy because he just ran past me. And that's as opposed to Obi, who I tweeted out today, like is clearly recognizing stuff. He just hasn't.
He saw the guy. It was V again. He saw him and said, oh, someone needs to be there. And then was like, oh, shit, I'm someone, and started running over. And that's like a rookie thing.
But that's a step, right? That's a sign. That's a little thing that you could take some encouragement in. And the fact that there's not more of those little things with Knox that you could take encouragement in is worrisome. So yeah, that's enough. I know we got a billion questions on Knox, but that's all I could say about young Kevin. I'm still hopeful though. I'm still Kevin. If you're out there, I'm still very hopeful. So show, prove me wrong.
Next question comes from Barbara. Do you think
I just looked at the question.
I'm trying to straight. Do you think that Rivers' groin injury is because he's been hanging out with Frank? Do we need team groin insurance? Two-parter.
I needed to take a sip of my beverage before I answered this. By the way, I can't talk about, you're still underage. I can't talk about what I'm drinking with you. I got a podcast listener yelled at me for this one time. Right? So I shouldn't, yeah.
I mean, listen, it's the way she goes.
It's really good though. It's Siponi. My wife picked it up. It's rye whiskey with honey coffee. It's really quite delightful. It's really very good.
I'm an impressionable teenager who doesn't know what any of that stuff is, but you're describing it as fun. So should probably devote my life to.
Well, my daughter saw the little box of it in the fridge, and she's like,
"Oh no!"
And there's a picture, but their logo is a bee. Because it's sip, it's like sip honey except without the H, so sip honey. And she's like, why is there a bee box in our fridge? And I said, it's honey. That was what I thought of. I mean, there's honey in it. Anyway, we are officially off topic.
back to the serious question
of Rivers' groin injury. Man, I think how cool would it be if there was some kind of an internal. Actually, no, that probably would not be cool. I'm not going to finish.
Where the hell was... Don't tell me where that thought was going.
I think that Rivers is, just like Frank, handsome, two handsome young men. I think they're, New York and the ladies in New York should be very happy to have them as part of their lives. I'll just say that.
Emmanuel Quickly is the subject of the next question, which is a we got two questions, so I'm gonna morph them into one here. So and Don't Take My Name at Don't Take My Name ask, what'd you think of IQ at point? Every time he touched the ball, it seemed like the D collapsed hard because he can shoot the three. I saw a triple team at some point. Even if he's not the one of the future, what do you think the chances are we see more of him there this season? Don't Take My Name. Were my eyes deceiving me, or did Quickly legitimately look like a solid NBA point guard in the second preseason game? Could RJ, IQ, and Frankie see some solid run together as a unit this year? I would love that personally, but
yeah, I think of like two games in, I think the lineup that I'm most excited about would be those three. It would be those three, Obi and Mitch, right?
I tweeted out before the second game. I was like, hey, the Knicks should do that Frank plus shooter plus RJ Obi Mitch thing that that we've been talking about them maybe doing. And then they did it with Quickly. I was like, holy moly, Tom Thibodeau, this is not. So,
no, it was great. And the fact that he's trying it out is a good sign. I actually might take that back, though, because here's the thing. And this is to say nothing bad towards Mitch. We're getting a little off track, but I'll make it quick. I think I don't know that I could say that it's a lineup that I'm most excited about if Obi isn't at the five. And I realize that's me pissing all over the concept of defense, and I get that. But just like, okay, he's going to be a bad defender this year. We know that, right? Let's accept it. But just the note, because his future as an NBA, like his ceiling as an NBA player, and this is actually going to dovetail with the Quickly answer, is as a center, right? It's not as a starting center, but it's the 10, 15 minutes of a game that really matter, he's going to have to figure out how to man the middle, because I just think that's how offenses are going to be most dangerous with him, especially if the jump shot continues to develop. So right. I think I might actually amend that answer and take Mitch out and put in, I almost want to say Austin Rivers. Get a little shooting, little ball movement.
This is why I really wish we had Poku.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun. But definitely quickly, Ntilikina, RJ, and Obi. I'm excited to see those guys together more. Here's what I think about Emmanuel quickly. I think they drafted him with the intent that over the course of a couple of years, they could turn him into not a point guard in, like, you know, the Chris Paul sense of point guard, but a point guard in the sense of like Donovan Mitchell, which is to say, I'm not saying he's going to become Donovan Mitchell.
Right. That's not a comp.
No, the fact that like you can have Donovan Mitchell run the show and his offense is such that is like, you know, that's good. And you want that because it, like, his shooting is so good and such a threat that if you can get, like, yes, it's easy to just play him at the two and you'll have a valuable role player in the NBA. But why not shoot for the stars? It's so early. He seems like one hell of a worker. Why not see if you could get just enough, you know, go down the list, ball handling, you know, vision,
right,
passing accuracy, all the things that, again, it's not what a point guard needs to do. It's what a guy who handles the rock for a predominant number of NBA possessions needs to do. You know, it's like the same thing that the Heat are probably going to try to do with Tyler Herro down the line. It's like Tyler Herro's not a point guard, but like, you could already start to see the seeds being planted there. So, you know, I do not think he's going to be in the rotation to start the year, though. I said that on Sunday night, and I'll say that again.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So our next question, I want to preface it with, think about this question before you ever say anything again about Dennis Smith Jr. And the question is not about Dennis Smith Jr. Okay. The question is from Novocaine 2020, who asks, for a team that has been devoid of good PG play for so long, how would each young building block, Mitch, RJ, Knox, I'm going to throw Obi in there, benefit from a real floor general sharing the court with them?
Oh my God. Like, this is the reason why I would have been happy if they traded for Chris Paul.
And yeah, I knew exactly where
it... No, I mean, that's obvious, isn't it? Like, again, Wednesday's newsletter, so it's all about Dennis Smith Jr. And it's not good. It's really bad. And you're just, you know, Tibbs said it after the game, and I wrote it in the newsletter that, like, I feel like I heard so often last year, whether it was Fizz or Mike Miller saying about Frank, like, he gets us into our offensive sets. Like, he gets us into our offense. And I always heard that. And I'd be like, that's such bullshit. That's like, you can't find a nice thing to say about. So it's like saying someone has beautiful eyes. It's like, just call me ugly. I'd rather you just say you're ugly than say I have beautiful eyes. Well, that's kind of how I took that. But now, seeing Dennis Smith Jr. be unable to get the team into its offensive sets.
Dude, the stuff he's got like a Hall of Fame improviser out there, in the sense that like the shit he comes up with to do that's like not smart. Where does that come? Like, where do those ideas come from? Like,
what is
he doing? Like, what's...
I don't know if it's a mental thing as much as it's just like physically, like his handle's bad. Like, I don't know. Like, and I watched this guy as a rookie. His handle was not this bad as a rookie. Like, what happened? He can't split two defenders. And the two defenders are Derrick Rose and Jahlil fucking Okafor. We're not talking about Kawhi and Paul George here. You know, like, when did this happen? I don't, you know, so that's, you want to tell me it's two preseason games, but like, come on, it's a fourth year point guard. What, like, I don't know what happened. There seems to be a lack of burst. He turned the corner once the other night and had like, but again, Derrick Rose like gave him the runway. I don't know where Dennis Smith Jr. is gone. That is my answer to that question. Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, well, we've only got a couple left. I'm going to get into this next one from Evan Janichin. It's a good one. It's a thinker. It's
a thinker. Ooh.
And you might have an obvious easy answer, and you know, but it's not a fun one. So we'll see. Which new Nick, aside from Obi and IQ, do you see having the longest tenure in a Nick uniform, and why? Which one of them would you like to see here the longest as well?
Wait a minute. Hold on. I was.
Which new Nick will have the longest tenure here? Obi and Quickly, not.
So not including them, which guy that they brought aboard this summer will have the longest tenure?
Any of them? I was like.
That's a good question. I mean, Rivers is essentially a 1 year deal, but man, I'm not gonna lie. I could say Powell too. I could say Miles Powell. This is a good question.
Right.
The three answers that came to mind instantly were Rivers, Miles Powell, and then the third one is Nerland Noel.
That was my dark horse because if they,
I don't know if he's a dark horse, man.
They move on from elsewhere and throw him a long term.
Look at you, elsewhere. Like everybody doesn't know what you're implying. Elsewhere, like Voldemort.
I get shredded to like if I even suggest anything along those lines. So I don't do it anymore.
Don't suggest it because look, Mitch is here and he still has a higher potential than Nerlens Noel ever will.
I agree.
And the Knicks should really, like, I've seen this organization for longer than you have been alive, literally longer than you have been alive, piss away opportunities at developing young talent and then just flat out young talent. So I would really rather they not do that with Mitchell Robinson for as quirky as he is. That being said, if you're asking me to make an honest prediction, which of these guys do I think would be here the longest? Oh man, I can't say Powell just because we haven't seen the guy play, and the guy's not even on an NBA contract yet, so that would be a bit presumptuous.
I think the three options that came to mind were Rivers, Noel, and none of them. Like they just all are gone.
They're all gone. No, I think somebody. I think somebody will be back. I'm gonna say Noel. It's a gut feeling. I just have a gut feeling. I think they.
Tibbs likes
him. I think he likes it here. I think they like him. Like I was on he had Zoom media availability today, and he just seems like he's genuinely excited to be here, to be a part of this team, to play in the Garden. Like he's bummed out that there's not going to be fans in the building for the first preseason game in the Garden.
Yeah,
like, he's really genuinely bummed out. He seems and so. Yeah, I think Noel will be around past this year, at least.
Gotcha. Question 10 comes from. I'm trying to think of a more fun introduction than just David Futternick. But
I mean,
but
you could call him a regular guest.
I think his name alone, like on mailbag pods, just you know, there's something good. Coming question wise after I you just know there's nothing else that needs to be said about David.
He's funny.
I always try to take a David question.
I'm getting you. I'm you and out of sight. We gotta book it. We gotta make a date. So what is David's question?
What would be the best way to get rid of Julius Randle? My personal preference would be shooting him into the sun on a big missile, but maybe that's too cruel. He'll hang up and listen to your thoughts.
Julius Randle is going to put me in therapy. He really is. And I'm going to bill him. I'm going to find out his address. I'm just going to send
him. I think you're using Julius Randle as a microcosm for Knicks related insanity.
That sounds like
me defending Randle too. I don't want
to. He just needs to be better.
Like he needs to stop doing the things. Yeah, like there's things that he does that like just need to stop. And they like a new coach came in, and they're not like. Is this like an old habits die hard? But it's not like a habit. It's not like he's like biting his nails. Like he's like intentionally taking the basketball and sending himself full speed into multiple defenders, standing in the paint of the basketball court, and but being
But I've seen
something happen this time.
I have clip after clip already in this young preseason of him making just smart, simple passes. He's made a couple of like slightly higher, not high level passes, but like, you know, good.
I texted you about one of them. Him, you know, there was a transition opportunity. Yes. Elf gets it down. But it's like, why? Like, we're to the point where we're like handing out like individual per assist, like gold medals for passing the ball and not doing something stupid with it.
It's just about getting rid of those half a dozen possessions a game that result in either a terrible shot or a turnover. And like, maybe I'm being kind by saying half a dozen, maybe it's closer to like a dozen. Well, but like
six is light.
Like I didn't go back and I went back and rewatched game one, but I didn't rewatch it purely with an eye on Randall, and maybe my tally would be different, but it didn't feel like he had more than five or six. Okay, let me rephrase that. Putting aside the last 5 minutes of the game, which him and Peyton reverted back to last year's form, up until that point,
that was
bad. I don't think he had five plays that I really, you know, shook my head at. It was maybe a couple, and then game two, it was more of a reversion back to form. So, you know, look, to answer David's question, I would send him on the ferry, the Staten Island ferry, which I had to take every day, twice a day for 4 years to go to high school. And that thing is not what you want. And it doesn't make you feel good about any of your choices in life, whether you are going to Staten Island or you are coming from Staten Island. The point is that Staten Island is involved prominently. And that's it's you know, and my whole family is from Staten Island, and I could say this. It's just, yeah. So that's how I would send him. I would maybe attach the rocket to the ferry and see.
Just get it, just to get it going.
Yeah, you know, send it to Jersey.
But isn't part of the hey?
Oh yeah, that's right. You're in Jersey.
Hey, man. isn't part of the experience like the sitting and sulking and sorrow about just being on the Staten Island? Like I feel like
makes it fitting for Julius Randle because it's part of the Julius Randle experience.
You can't speed the ride up.
Listen, I wanted to speed that ride up every single time I was ever on it.
Don't give him that satisfaction as
well. It is a floating Kafka novel. I don't know if you know what that means.
I don't.
Look it up.
I don't know how to spell what it is you just said.
Oh my God. It's bad enough that you didn't know you never watched Die Hard. You don't know what, okay. Look up Kafka, K-A-F-K-A. That's your homework for tonight. That's what I would do. But hold on, but I think we have one more question left. And before we get to it, I do want to read a quick word from our sponsor. Let me tell you, Chris, if we did send Julius Randle, put him on the Staten Island ferry and rocket it to outer space, right. He might get injured.
Well, I mean, you have to take into account the upward trajectory of when, you know, the rocket that could possibly send him flying within the confines of the.
We need to put a lot of padding. Well, in any case, if he did get injured, you know, he would, like, the Knicks have good medical care because he would eventually come back because he's Julius Randle. He's always going to come back. He's like Freddie or Jason. So he'd recover. But unfortunately, when one of us is injured because of someone else's negligence, like not properly tying a rocket to the Staten Island ferry, it can be a life-changing event. And when that happens, you want a strong legal team fighting for you to make sure you receive full compensation for your injuries. Here's what you don't want. You don't want your file to be just one of hundreds on a shelf with others. You don't want your lawyers to be afraid to go to court. And you definitely want to be able to call your legal team whenever you want. The legal team at Faruqi and Faruqi gives every client their personal cell phone numbers to call 24/7. They limit the number of clients they represent at one time, and they have a long track record of taking on insurance companies, corporations, and the government in court and winning. And while prior results do not guarantee a similar outcome, you could learn more about Faruqi and Faruqi by going to nylegalteam.com. One more time to go check out Faruqi and Faruqi, visit their website, nylegalteam.com. What's our last question?
Well, on the topic of crunch time, John, at Nathan.
Yeah, my drink. Thank you. It's exceptional podcasting.
I'm telling you, we are like a textbook sham. At Native Son 45, based on potential, what is the Knicks' best crunch time lineup?
It's a really complicated question because So am I'm going to assume like right now, or am I projecting like 5 months of growth?
I would think for the season.
Like, what is the best crunch? Okay. What is the best crunch time lineup?
You can add a caveat if you want. Like, oh, give it 2 months.
Caveat. Because I don't like saying their best crunch time lineup right now is boring, because it's probably going to include like Elfrid Payton and Julius Randle. Just being honest. Is that stupid? Is that wrong? I mean, I'm sure somebody
will. No, I mean, the thought crossed my mind that like,
many people will think that that's stupid.
Are probably right now, maybe if not, you could do. Personally, I'd go like Frank, Burks, RJ, 1, 2, 3. Keep Alfred off the floor, but I'd get if you put Randle in the lineup. Like I can understand that.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't want to give that answer. I want to give the best crunch time lineup.
The question is based on potential. So
yeah, that I could reasonably expect to see this year. I think it includes Mitch. I think any version of this team that's good this year includes Mitch making some kind of a mini leap.
RJ.
What's that?
Lock
RJ. Oh yeah, RJ. I'm sorry, that goes without saying. Yes, RJ, 100,000% RJ. So RJ, Mitch. Do I think Toppin will be ready to be part? Yeah, I think he will. I think I don't want to get scared off by one iffy preseason game where, as he said today, he felt like he was rushing it. So I think it's going to be Obi. I think it's going to be Mitch. I think it's going to be RJ. Man. Am I really going to?
I gave my picks for the 1 and 2. I know you might take the available.
I know what I want to say, but it feels silly elf. To say this. No, I'm not saying elf. I know what I want. But you know what I want to say? I want to say Emmanuel Quickly and Frank Ntilikina. That's what my heart wants to say.
Right. Based off potential.
Yeah. And I feel like
that would be like that lineup I mentioned earlier, just like those five. I know Kevin Knox and DSJ don't make the cut.
I can't
of that five man lineup. But
for the life of me, I can't see Kevin Knox being a part of that. I wish I could.
Like crunch time, Kevin Knox is not. There's Summer League, Kevin Knox. We've met, you know, rookie of the month, Kevin Knox. There's sophomore year, Kevin Knox. Throughout all, I don't think crunch time, Kevin Knox.
We're not there yet. I'll say it's RJ, it's Obi, it's Mitch, I think it's Frank.
There you go.
And again, who the hell knows? Maybe he's not on the team by the time this podcast comes out, or maybe
I will blame you.
As you should. And I think he's going to be here. He's not going anywhere just yet.
I know. He will be here. He just, if I will. Yeah.
I like everything I've seen from Frank this year. I have no reason not to include him in this fivesome. But that last spot is tough, because you could make an argument for Burks. You could make an argument for Rivers. I can't say Quickly as a rookie. It would be either Rivers or Burks.
I think I was going to say Burks, Rivers, Quickly is the bunch to pick from. This is why I went.
But do Burks. Do I take out Frank and put in a second one of like do
Rivers
I
Rivers and Burks? Rivers, well, Burks, Barrett.
Rivers, Burks, Barrett, Obi, Mitch.
That might be their bet. If you're mixing both actual best and then potential best for potential, like all, yeah, that might be it.
I think that's it, because I think you're banking on RJ doing what we talked about before and making a little mini leap as a playmaker
if he's doing that, then you can afford the spot to Frank to have out there on defense.
But if we're being wildly optimistic within reason, then Frank's 3-point shot comes along, right? And it's not that much of a drop off from Burks, or I mean, he could be a better 3-point shooter than Austin Rivers right now, for all we know. Burks.
I like the new shot form. It's not new. It's just tuned up. I like it.
I gotta go Burks. It's really interesting, Rivers and Frank, because they're kind of like they have similar, you know. I'll go Frank.
Give me the defense. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's the thing is like, I'd see the thing about RJ I haven't talked about. His defense has been really nice this year so far.
That's something that I think I tweeted out at some point that that's an aspect of his game that I'd love for us to just like wake, like I'd love to wake up to a newsletter from you one day. And that's like, by the way, RJ Barrett's super good at defense. I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't even notice that. Like, you know, he's having a great, it's like,
I ran out of room.
That's something that's going to come along because he's as strong as he is and he's as smart as he is. And he understands, you know what I mean? So he's a hard worker, like all that stuff. I just can't see good defense not being born out of the fires that are his like determination.
I'm with you. I want to see that group out there. It's crazy. I'm like, they're really for the fact that their offense has looked like it, like I wrote whatever it was 2 weeks ago, like how can they, or whatever a week ago, how can they figure out how to have a top 20 offense? At this point, I'm trying to figure out, like, can they have like a top 27 offense, you know, based on how we've seen through two games. But at the same time, there is legitimately a good deal of stuff to get excited about. It's just,
we're going to see, we were playing Detroit twice. And you look at their roster construction, think about what happens, you know, when we play, say, a team that's a little more small ball oriented, that might be tough for someone like Obi on defense, for example. But on offense, RJ is going to have a field day.
Well, I think,
so, you know, there's different matchups to be seen. I think, you know, we got to see how we do against different types of teams as well.
I think that's fair. But at the same time, they are going to have nights where teams shoot them out of the building because the defensive scheme that they're running requires, as we were touching on before with Knox, just such awareness.
The amount of corner threes I've seen Kevin Knox, like, and I now this is not just to like,
it's not just, you know, Knox,
pile though. Shit on Knox.
No, it's, but it's just, not just Knox. But
Knox himself, the amount of threes I've seen Knox himself give up in the corner because he had a foot in the paint and did not make it out.
Yeah, but he's supposed to have.
I know he's supposed to. So I'm saying just like the amount of times I've seen that happen. Like it's, I can just see that happening more times throughout the season. You know, it's just like you see the situation start to unfold and you're like, okay, this is the Knicks are going to allow a corner 3-pointer. And then the ball gets moved into the corner and then not, you know, like whoever it is, isn't there fast.
Yet. No,
you can tell the way, you know, we play and it's too early to make any, you know, final determinations, but I think,
but I'm
because of our talent level. Yeah, with our talent level, you can safely say like we're gonna screw up a lot. So
yes, I think that is safe to say.
Yeah.
So all right. On that note, this was fun. We kept it. We kept it under now. We always kept it to 45 minutes, which was my original intent. But under an hour is good. Chris, anything you want to say before we get out of here?
I've got nothing besides if I can do a shameless plug.
Do plug whatever you want.
Me, Chris, and then Chris Cortez.
You have a podcast.
On the Bleed Orange and Blue pod, had an episode go up a couple days ago just about our expectations for the season and how we think the season might go. You know, so we also touched on draft free agency thoughts quickly. So we have a new episode up and it's getting some good support. So thanks to everyone who's checked it out already for your support. And that's my only thing to plug is the Bleed Orange and Blue podcast with Chris and Chris.
Podcast is going to be bigger than this podcast pretty soon. with takes like I spit out shit. Should be bigger than this already. I have nothing to plug.
Too kind.
No, you're killing it. You know that. What do I have to plug? I'll plug my, oh man, it's in the kitchen. I can't get up and get it. I was going to plug my daughter because she,
I can't, it's in the kitchen. I can't her, get up no, and she get is, it.
No, it's something she made. She made a rainbow earlier today and I wanted to plug the fact that she made a rainbow and it was really nice. But not only that, she signed her name and it was like the best she's ever written her name. by herself. And I was going to show it on the, but it's in the kitchen, and I think my wife is upstairs, so she can't get it. So I'll just plug her serial killer writing again. So shout out to Scarlett Ray for doing that. Man, what is going through this kid's head? There's just random letters on here.
It's like you end up like some like historian watches this podcast and they find out that it's like actually some ancient Egyptian like code for something. It's she's got the nuclear codes or something.
She's
got something going on.
It's a good thing we don't have a dog. Otherwise the dog might be telling her to, poke mommy and daddy with a knife. You probably don't even know who Son of Sam is.
No.
Oh, Jesus Christ. What do you do with you? Someone needs to put you through a course of like things you need to know as a person. Okay. So you
have my movie list. I'm making progress. I watched Moneyball, which wasn't on it, I don't think, but I watched that movie, which you told me a different time that I should watch. So I watched that.
But that shouldn't be a movie that somebody has to tell you to watch. It came out when you were already like 12 or whatever, or 11 or something.
I don't really do movies. It's just never been.
Oh my God, what is wrong?
I gotta get out of here before I fall back into just a scrutiny that.
Have you watched Mank yet on we're really going off the rails here, but have you watched Mank on Netflix?
No.
Do yourself a favor and do me a favor and do the universe a favor, because I did this and I had
Andrew, seen, Yash, Oz, I'm sorry.
Go take, now that you're home for whatever or have no work for a month and a half, take a day, and I think actually this is when I watched Citizen Kane, right after I graduated from college. I had my own apartment in the city. I had nobody, not a lot of friends in the city yet. So there was a video store. We used to have things called video stores where you'd go and get a tape and put it into your VCR and you'd press play and you'd watch and a movie would appear. So I would go rent old movies and I would just spend my days watching old movies because I'm a big loser. But go watch Citizen Kane. And then after you're done watching Citizen Kane, turn on Mank on Netflix and then watch Mank. And you will thank me for this. It will take roughly 4 hours and 20 minutes of your life, but it will be worth it. I promise you.
I need to write this down.
Okay, please.
Very good.
And to everybody who's had to listen to this conversation for the last 10 minutes, I apologize.
This is how things are, though. This is the way things go. KFS behind the scenes. like it's not basketball. What am I doing wrong? And then I just look to fix those things.
I mean, that's doing everything right in like life, but shit, culturally, we got to get you caught up, kid. Like, oh my God.
All right. Written down.
Okay.
Thank you for the recommendation. Thank you to the listeners for listening.
Yes. Thank you to the listeners. Thank you to everybody who submitted questions.
Stay safe.
Stay safe. Wear a mask. If we didn't get to your question today, I apologize. We send again. We'll try to bang out even more next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Knicks Film School Podcast. We will be back with another one, I'm sure before you know it. Actually, I think the next, Friday, you're going to hear a conversation between me and Paul Knepper. Who wrote a book about the 90s Knicks. And I actually recorded that conversation a few days ago. We had a great talk and a lot of insight into some good stories that you have not heard.
That's why you said his name and I'm excited to hear this episode because I was not alive for that era.
You're going to learn a lot if you listen to this. A nice, tidy 40 minutes or so. So that's coming out on Friday and, check out what else? Check out the Periscopes after the games, newsletter, the whole thing. All right. See everybody later. Have a good rest of your week.